Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hello friends and welcome to Hello Friend. My name is Bethany Rutter and today's friend is Michael Chapman. I wanted to talk to Michael because, well, he's just a real ray of sunshine. Michael's a photographer, but he wasn't always, and that's one of the reasons that I thought of him as a guest. But first things first, how did we meet Michael? How do we know each other?
Ah, well, that is exciting because you took part in one of my very first photography projects, which was 100 Strangers from Twitter. So I met 100 people that I had no idea about via the magical medium of Twitter, and your rosy little face appeared among them, and I was like, yes, I want to photograph this person.
And that is how we met. And that is something you're very good at, taking photos. Yeah, of course you are. Are you working full-time as a photographer now?
Yes, so I've been doing photography, like, paid for about 4 years now, and I've just recently gone full-time, so I've been doing it for, I think this is my fourth month. Terrifying.
And what were you doing before?
I was a PA, so like admin-y, kind of looking after my boss's laundry.
Living the actual dream.
Yeah, the actual dream.
Okay, so this is my big question for anyone that like goes freelance, so you're a good person to ask. How did you know when it was the right time to make that leap?
Well, so I was sensible, kind of. in that I went down to a four-day week because the job that I had previously allowed me the capacity to do that, which was great, and you wouldn't get that everywhere. But it allowed me to kind of start putting myself out there a little bit more, building up a bit of a customer base and starting to get that money in. Then I was going to kind of do it earlier, but my partner got made redundant. So I was like, So I kind of carried on working till he found another job. Now he's kind of in secure employment, so I'm kind of in a lucky position because he could cover my rent if I couldn't. So I saved up sort of about 3 months worth of salary, which is, I got a freelancer book and I can't remember what it's called. That would have been good to mention.
That's okay, you can always like let me know afterwards and I'll like tweet it.
But yeah, and it's sort of recommended to have like 3 months salary sort of behind you. So I saved up a little bit of money, put that to one side, and then I just thought, I can't, my job is getting a bit boring, and I was just like, I just need to do this now, or I'm never going to do it. And I thought, it's either going to work or it's not, and if I don't do it, I'll regret not doing it. So I kind of, in answer to your question, it kind of just felt right. I know that sounds really weird and very loose and probably not very good advice to everyone, but
just instinct. Like,
yeah, it just felt right.
That's good to know. And were the kind of, was your partner or like other people close to you, were they mostly encouraging or mostly like advising you to be cautious?
My parents and anyone of an older generation were like, oh, you should be in employment. My parents don't talk like that. I wish they did. But anybody that I knew, like friends and people like that, were like, oh my God, you're brilliant. Go and do this. You'll nail it. And like, I kind of suffer sometimes with like a lot of self-doubt. So I was sort of still very dubious, but lots of people, and I mean, shout out to the boyfriend. He was very encouraging.
Like even when he was made redundant, he was still like, you need to do this. Yeah.
He was good because when he lost his job, I was like, right, well, if you can't find employment, I can cover us. I can do it. It's absolutely fine. So it kind of, the situation sort of flipped in some senses, but he's always been like a really big supporter of mine. So like when I'm not sure about something, he's like, go and do it.
That's so good. That's so like nice to hear.
Yeah.
Cause if they are not supporting you, then who is?
Right.
And especially because like people of our parents' generation, like freelancing is maybe not such a part of their world, but like, yeah, someone roughly our age, it's good to know that just from like an emotional point of view, he wanted you to go for your dream.
Yeah.
And how has your life changed?
It's been really crazy. Like, I feel so much happier. Like I was, I'd already say that I was quite a happy person.
Yep. I would also say you are a happy person.
I like to try to be as happy as I can for other people as well. But, like, I feel so much happier in myself. I sometimes wake up in the morning, I'm like, I can't believe that I'm actually doing this. And there's been a couple of times I did a job with you, actually.
Yeah.
And I was walking around doing it. And I was like, I cannot believe that this is my job.
Yeah, like I literally have nothing else to do but this. Like, this isn't my bit on the side. This isn't, like, something that I'm doing when I should be doing my proper job.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm being paid to do. And that money will contribute to my existence and, like, paying rent and, like, buying groceries and whatever.
That's the thing. It's kind of like I'm being paid to go and meet someone, chat to them for ages, and take pictures of them, revealing how beautiful they are. And I'm like, this is absolutely incredible. I still can't believe this is happening. And the other day, I scheduled a job working for a dog walker, and there's going to be 12 dogs. 12 dogs!
Are they, like, dog models or just, like, any dog?
Any dog. Oh. I don't even know what species they get. Well, is it species? Type.
Brand,
yeah. What brand of dog?
What genre of dog?
I'm just so excited.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm going to roll around in the mud and everything. It's going to be great.
That's too delightful. And you are literally getting paid to do that. Someone is like, I need pictures taken with all these dogs. Who should do it? Michael should do it. And it's so nice that when you have this kind of creative career and you are the first person that someone thinks of when they need a job done, like, that must be such an honor when it's so hard to, like, establish who you are and what you're doing.
It's very flattering, I find, especially when somebody who knows me approaches me and, like, we're doing this thing at work, because it is quite a big push because I'm new, really. Like, I mean, I've been taking pictures for ages, but essentially I am quite new as a photographer, like, out in that big wide world. So people to take risks on me and sort of say, yeah, come and do this thing, it's so flattering. Like, I had two people ask me to do their wedding.
Oh my god, that's
and
so
like,
nice.
I kind of vowed to myself, oh my god, I don't want to be a wedding photographer, but I absolutely love them. They're such nice guys. And to have them ask me, and I went around the house and they cooked me dinner, it was just so lovely. Like, I was so flattered.
Because it feels like wedding photography is like a genre of its own.
Yeah.
And if it's not people you know, it probably requires quite a lot of logistics and planning and and it's such high expectations from the people whose pictures you're taking. Like, this isn't just any shoot. This is something that you can never recreate.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how I reasoned it in my head. So originally I was very dubious about it. But speaking to some people, especially people that already wedding photographers, they were like, well, you cover events, that's the same thing.
It's true.
Like, you wouldn't if you didn't get something, you can't get the speaker to just get back up on stage again or something like that. You have to nail these kinds of shots anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's a little bit more pressure because it's a personal thing rather than it being a worky thing, and some people separate those easier, but I definitely think there is a level of a slight heightened level of pressure to it. But
yeah.
And I'm excited.
You only take pictures of people, don't you? Like, that's your thing.
Yeah, people. I do some lifestyle stuff, but that kind of... One of my clients is Soho.
It's true. You can't...
I know.
I know. I totally get that impulse to, like, downplay the stuff in your life, and I do it all the time. But, like, they are your clients. They're literally paying you money.
I think that's the thing. I don't like to be all like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening, because, like, on social media, for them to see it and be like, oh my god, how unprofessional.
Yeah, like, he clearly doesn't take himself seriously. Why should I take him seriously?
But at the same time, I don't want to be all like, oh my god, my new client is blah blah blah. But anyway, I'll do it anyway. Soho House is one of my clients, so I do some stuff for Soho Home. So that's like plates and bowls and kind of homeware and stuff like that. But they kind of do it in sort of a people-y setting, so it's not as bad, but
as distant from your normal.
I think basically if somebody asks me to do something, I'll assess if I can do it, and if I have no experience of doing it, I'll sort of say I can't do that, or I've not done it before. I could try some test shots and send them to you, see if it's what you want, or I would recommend X because they are a really good photographer at this kind of thing. Because I think, like, I'm still finding my style.
Yeah. And you don't just want to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
And then you can't fulfill what that person wants, which you knew all along.
Yeah.
And one of the nicest things I found, as, like, your kind of reputation or profile grows, is when people ask you to do something and you know that it's either not the right thing for you to do, or you are already committed to doing something else, or like you don't have time to do it, is being able to suggest someone else and being able to like help someone else build their profile or reputation or career. It just doesn't cost you anything, and it is so helpful to them.
I mean, it's very true. I find this, it was quite alien to me. Well, it wasn't alien to me because I'm used to bigging, like I love showcasing people or, you know, saying someone's doing this, go and look at their stuff. It's amazing. And like, for me, that's kind of what that is. So like retweeting other photographers or like pointing out other people's projects, like there's this fear a lot of the time that they're going to come and swoop in and steal all your work. But I like genuinely, I've never heard of that happening.
And you can't live like that. Like you can't live so consumed with fear that like you cannot let any good stuff into your life and you can't acknowledge any good stuff.
I think another thing as well is like I'm not a very spiritual person, but there is something about putting out good stuff and you get good stuff back. Like the amount of times I've sort of said, oh, this person's really good at this kind of thing, only later down the line to have them refer something back to you. So I do think it helps, and it widens your like profile as well, and I think it makes you seem like a bit like you know what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're
like, sort of, firstly, you're an authority in that space, and secondly, there's nothing worse than having a reputation for being hard to work with or unpleasant or I don't know, and just being able to kind of say, I can't do it, but here's this great person who could. I'm really enthusiastic about their work. But that is the opposite of that. That's you making the potential client's life easier and saying, I'm confident enough in my own work that I don't need to kind of hoard it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like you taking pictures of people makes a lot of sense with your personality because you are such a warm and friendly person.
Ah, you're too kind.
And your photos, they always have so much like life and soul, and it's such a nice thing to see. But how do you make people feel comfortable having their picture taken? Because one of the last times I saw you, you were taking pictures of the blogger Leah Vernon from My Work at Navabi. And she needed no direction whatsoever. But most people are not like Leah and are not that completely chill and in control of having their picture taken. So what?
Yeah.
How do you mitigate that fear and self-consciousness?
It's kind of, it's very interesting because one of the most said things to me is I hate having my picture taken.
Yep.
I get it all the time. I'm like, cool, great. Well, I'm here to take your picture. Obviously, I never say that, but I'm in my head, that's my like inner monologue. And I'm like, well, okay. So I find the quickest way of making someone feel comfortable is to make fun of myself, which I do quite easily. Like I enjoy, I don't do it from like a self-defeating kind of view, but I'll sort of try to make light of the situation, how awkward it is. One of the things that I find that's quite easy to pull on is the last time most people got their photo taken was at school.
Yep.
So you can kind of pull on those kinds of memories and that sort of thing. And then people always tell you things they don't like about themselves. So then it's
or they're
just
like,
about,
I'm really self-conscious of my teeth, or I hate my forehead, or like, I got my hair cut and I really don't like it.
I once had one person tell me that they could only be shot from the left-hand side.
No. And was there anything particularly like visible?
No.
It's wild, huh?
I think the thing is, because it's your image, it's yourself, you can have quite a distorted view of it. And I think somebody else looking at it from a different perspective. Like for me, my job as a photographer is to get across that the person in front of me is a radiant wonder.
Yep.
And I need to find a way of showing that radiance. So for me, it's kind of like digging a little bit in. So there's either some small chatting, a bit of laughter, you know, those kinds of things. It gets difficult when you don't have much time. So
yeah,
for
and
corporate,
it's just like bish, bash, bosh, in and out.
Corporate work is very like that. So I could have like a 5-minute slot with each person. So you've got 5 minutes to get a photo of that person that they're not going to hate.
And but even if they do hate it, like there's the point at which they see it, there's kind of nothing anyone can do about it. So they don't want to be stuck with this thing. Like, they know that time is of the essence for them, yeah, as much as you.
I think it's about choosing things that are flattering as well. So some people, when you ask them to smile, it looks like they're about to kill you.
Yeah.
So you kind of then have to avoid that. And the other thing is, so in those instances, you try and make them laugh. Some people you can't even do that with. And then it's just about making them stand in a way that they wouldn't stand normally. So they see themselves in a different way. So I always try to keep things quite natural and unposed, but like making small suggestions is like, oh, could you sidestep to your right? When I don't want them to sidestep to the right, I want them to stop doing what they're doing with their arms.
So it's like a way of distracting them, giving them something else to focus on.
Basically. Because I think if you start saying to someone, oh, the way you're holding your arms is really weird, like, people will then be really conscious of their arms. Whereupon if you say that kind of thing to somebody that's a model or they're used to having their pictures taken, it's not so bad.
And they know what you mean. They know how to interpret that and take direction.
But yeah, like, dealing with sort of somebody that's not used to being photographed is kind of very, I don't know, it can be very difficult, but I quite enjoy the challenge.
Yeah. So is there like one piece of advice that you would give to anyone that's having their picture taken? Is there like one little trick?
There is there's a couple of tricks that I know. So there's one where you get the person to shut their eyes.
Okay, I'm shutting my eyes.
And then you count to three and then you breathe out and then you open your eyes.
And then you take the picture right when they
when they open their eyes, basically. I can't remember where I read that. It was in some photography magazine. And it sometimes works with some people, other people it doesn't. Making someone laugh is quite a good one. Because as soon as you make someone laugh, they automatically let down a bit of their defence.
And so physically kind of relax as well.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, like helping someone relax, I guess.
So obviously, as anyone who knows me in any way knows, I love taking selfies. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, oh, have I just got so used to this one vision of how I look in photos that I cannot bear to see pictures that were not taken by me in a controlled way that I like? But then I see pictures that were not taken by me and I'm like, firstly, objectively, that is fine. But secondly, that's how people are seeing me all the time. I'm as much the person in that picture as I am the person in like the selfie. And it's just trying to create a complete picture of what I really look like to everyone, to myself and everyone else.
Yeah.
But it can't, like, I feel like seeing a photo of yourself is something that can really spark a crisis in people sometimes. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't know I looked like that. And it must be, trying to get people in a natural state that also like reflects what they really look like in a way that is also objectively attractive to them.
Yeah.
It's a really hard balance to strike.
It is, especially when you put it like that.
So another thing about your work, other than that you like working with people, is that you do a lot of stuff through social media. Tell me about the projects that you've done through Twitter or other platforms, but I think it's mostly Twitter.
Yeah, so mostly Twitter. So I'm curious about this. We constantly get told, oh, you can't make friends online.
Oh, my God. I was working in a cafe this morning and a woman at the table behind me, I heard her say, social media is the death of people. And I was like, within a space of 24 hours, I'm literally seeing like four people that I know only from Twitter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's the exact opposite for me. But that is such a common logic.
I think it depends on how you use it. And a lot of people don't really understand how to use certain things. And I do get with Twitter and things like that, there is this case of like an echo chamber. And that can sometimes be unhealthy in the fact that you're kind of absorbing opinions that are just the same as yours, blah, blah, blah. But that for me is a completely separate thing. For me, like through, and I hate calling it this, but like my work, I look at
it's
like,
literally your
work. I know. But
even if you weren't getting paid for it, it would still be your work.
It is still my work. No, someone else is doing it and I just pretend. Like,
yeah.
They dress
You're
up as
me. You're the face of Michael Chapman.
Yeah, I'm the face of Michael Chapman.
And someone else is the hands.
But basically, like for me, it's kind of like I like to explore this whole offline online thing. So the first project I ever did was 100 Strangers, which you featured in.
I did.
And basically, the premise was I would meet 100 people that I had no idea who they were, complete strangers via Twitter, in a location of their choice, and I would take a portrait of them. So I would meet the person. Well, they'd have to volunteer. That was kind of the only... I wouldn't ask anyone. Because for me, I didn't want to put someone in that awkward position where you... Because some people don't like having their picture taken.
Yeah, which is totally understandable.
Exactly. And I don't want to push on someone, you know, that kind of like, oh, you should really take part in this or that kind of thing. And then also I worried about changing the demographic. And I was curious about who would volunteer.
Yeah, so, like if there was something that you could tell from who ended up doing it about either the people you know or the people that feel comfortable having their picture taken. Like, that's kind of interesting in its own right.
My main takeout was that I know a lot of gay men with beards.
Yep.
Especially now.
Speaking as a gay man with a beard.
Speaking as a gay man with a beard. But so that was my first project. So I kind of set out to just explore how people came across online and how that reflected in person. So I would have like a coffee and a chat with them first, and then we'd sort of go walking around their location, snapping some pictures, and then they would kind of go off. And so I did this with all 100 people. I got featured in The Guardian with it, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to talk about actually is I got loads of flack on The Guardian article about like, oh, somebody knows someone at The Guardian. And I didn't want to be like one of those passive aggressive commenters. Like, well, actually, but I actively went over to Twitter and I said, I did this thing on your platform. Is this something you could, like, would you be interested in advertising it? Or like, I just wanted to kind of let you know.
So you contacted Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they contacted The Guardian.
Okay, cool.
Like, and I was a bit like, I don't know anyone at The Guardian. I'm not that fancy. I do now. But
but still, like...
But, like, yeah, it's kind of a bit... Yeah, so that was, like, my first, like, project, I guess. So kind of that thought of exploring online and off and that sort of thing. And then I kind of thought, well, what can I do next? Like, what shall I... How can I evolve this further? So then I did a project called Common Ground, which didn't take off as well because... Well, I think it's because it involved more than one person. But anyway, that was sort of... I would meet people that had connected via Twitter, whether that was, like, romantic, in a friendship way. Like, I didn't care as long as they had, like, they'd taken their online interaction kind of offline. So I had loads of interest when I first started doing it, but it became increasingly apparent that it was difficult to get
two people in the same place
at the same time.
Yeah. And also the other thing with that project was... At least initially, you said you would prefer not to shoot the people that had been a part of the Strangers Project.
Yeah.
And given that a certain kind of person is likely to be comfortable having their picture taken, they're probably the kind of person that makes friends on Twitter.
Yeah.
So you probably cancelled out quite a lot of the second group by having so many people in the first group.
And I think that was another mistake, like, that I made. I should have allowed this. But for me, it was like... I got in my head a bit about it and I was thinking, I want to do this project and I'm interested in it, but at the same time, I want to feature different people.
Yeah, totally. I totally get wanting to like widen your branches.
And I think I could have chased it further, but like I was getting to that point where I was sort of starting to think about giving up work and that kind of thing. So I started focusing more on other like paid work and chasing things like that and doing stuff that I could make commercially viable. So I kind of sort of thought, I think it was about like 8 sets of people. And I was like, it's a good number. And I felt like I did what I wanted to do with it. It just wasn't as broad as Strangers, I guess.
Yeah.
So I kind of left it there. And now I'm doing Show Up.
Oh, so, yeah. I really like this.
Yeah. So I'm kind of playing with the idea of a flash mob.
Yep.
And like a photography project. So basically, I'm being a bit like Agatha Christie about it. And I'm sort of like, oh, I'm going to be in Brighton. Well, I'm actually in Brighton this Sunday, 21st. And yeah, so I'm kind of a bit like, I'm going to be here between these times at location. And then I'll reveal the location on the day at the set time. And I'll be there for 2 hours. And I will literally take a picture of anyone that comes along, provided they weren't a dick.
Cool. No dicks allowed.
Well... I have a steadfast rule that I won't knowingly photograph a dick.
That's such a good rule or way to live.
Yeah. Well, I got contacted about, I won't go into names or anything like that, but I got contacted about photographing some alt-right people.
What?
And okay. I was like,
this is the stuff that I want to like find out in the course of these conversations. So tell me more about this experience. You don't have to name names if you don't want to, but like,
so I got contacted by a publication
which shall remain nameless.
But they were basically like, we're looking for a photographer, and it would have been a good opportunity, but I'm like, I can't photograph fascists.
And like, you shouldn't even be exposing yourself to these people as like a gay man.
Yeah.
Let alone like saying it's okay. Like, I feel safe to do it as a gay man, but these people are exposing harm to like people of color and.
Yeah. Like yeah. people that I love and, you know, friends and people that I respect and those kinds of things. I was like, I just don't want anything to do with that. So I was like, I'm really sorry, but. Thank you for approaching me with the opportunity, but their views are too contradictory to my beliefs.
And so they are literally a menace to society.
So I can't take the assignment, but I was just like...
And they must have, like, whoever the publication is, they must have known when they were approaching photographers that people would not necessarily be jumping for joy at this opportunity.
I don't know, you know, because...
God.
You see a lot of... Well, and I'm gonna say, like, white straight male photographers that will literally, oh, okay, well, I'll just take pictures of this person.
Well, they'll approach it as like a kind of anthropological study of them, and it's like, whoa.
There is this thing of like distancing yourself. I mean, especially if you think about photographers that have to go out and photograph war zones and things like that.
But you're not that person.
No,
you're Michael Chapman.
Exactly right.
You want to take pictures of nice people and then make friends with them, and then like hang out with them on the internet.
But that was the thing that I was really confused about. Like, how? Firstly, did you get to me as your like? I assume I'm not their first point of call.
Yeah.
But, like, how did you get to this place? I was very curious about it, but I was kind of like, I'm just going to nip this in the bud. I don't want this.
I don't want to know how much money they're trying to give me. I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to know how many people might see it, because it just doesn't matter.
The thing is, though, they could have paid me any amount of money in the world and I still wouldn't have done it.
It just wouldn't be worth it.
Because it's not worth it. And also, the like, with your photos being exposed to different people, it normally doesn't actually matter. That whole exposure thing, unless your photos are going to the people that are going to commission you, which they don't tend to, it's not really, like, getting your photographs published in some magazines isn't much of a way of, like, advertising yourself.
Or generating more work, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is with the same publication, or you can approach people and say, I did this thing for X, I think it would be great for your publication. So there are elements of it that make sense. But generally, like, this whole, my favourite, like, oh, for exposure, is just absolute rubbish. It's, like, ridiculous. Like, it never pays off. It never, ever pays out. And it's one of the things that, like, you seem to get quite a lot, like, this whole, I want you to do your thing for free. I've gone really negative.
No, it's like you have to be realistic about the fact that people often don't value creative careers.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it is negative, but so is life.
Yeah, like, true.
You have to be realistic about the fact that as much as it's fun and it's nice to be able to go to a gallery in your own time and charge what you want for the work that you think it deserves, but there are downsides of being in a creative freelance career.
I think one of the things that I found most devastating about it, while we continue this vein, is people that see you as a camera rather than a person. So you often get, I've had it quite a bit, like with people, they kind of start a dialogue with you and then it leads to, oh, do you want fancy taking my picture? And it's like, oh, cool.
So okay. When you're not even working, like, oh, God.
I'm like, oh, this is not good. But, like, the thing is, if a friend asked me, like, a friend of mine needed some headshots done, and I was like, yeah, I don't mind, it's fine. They never asked. They just said, you know, oh, I'm looking for work and I need to update my LinkedIn. And I was like, do you want me to do some headshots for you?
And you're willing to do that for a friend,
yeah.
But not for a random person that you don't know.
Like, if somebody can't afford my rates, that's fair enough. Like, but... I can try and work out something that might work for them.
If you think it's worthwhile, like if you think this is a project that is worth being paid less to do, like that's cool. But a company that makes money and is going to make money off whatever you're producing for them, they should be willing to pay you what you are charging. And if not, then they should go with someone else who is less talented.
But I've had that thing as well, where a client's come to me asking me to do something and I've quoted on it and they've said, oh, it's a bit out of our price range. And I've said, well, I could do this option. And then, you know, it cuts down on my editing time. And they were like, no, you know, we need blah, 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 blah. I don't want to go into too much detail. And then they then find a student to do it for them who's obviously done it dirt cheap. And then my client came back to me like, oh, we should have used you.
Well, I could have told you that 2 weeks ago.
I'm like, oh, please.
Okay, from the lows to the highs, there's something that we really need to talk about.
Oh, my God.
Which is Singing Leon.
Oh, if you haven't been to Singing Leon, you should go immediately.
Okay, so that is the next time we will see each other.
Yes.
When we are having lunch at Singing Leon with Jenny Tighe, who you haven't met, but you're going to love, because I love her and everyone loves her. Describe Singing Leon.
So,
to the boys and girls at home and people clever enough to have transcended gender.
So, basically, if you can imagine a Leon, I'm assuming most people will kind of know what a Leon is. Basically, the fast food joint, but with like a healthier twist, but like interesting healthy rather than, oh my God, everything's made of kale and has no flavour. So they kind of do things like fish finger wraps and blah, blah, blah. I'm now basically a salesperson for Leon and obsessed with the fish finger wrap.
I love the fish finger wrap. And I love that, like, it's when my mum's working, she'll bring packed lunch like 4 days a week. And on the fifth day, she will let herself pay money for a Leon fish finger wrap. And that is like her purest joy. And I'm
love
so
your
happy
mom.
For her. I love my mum too.
That's amazing. Literally my favourite thing. I love them. So anyway, so they've set up a restaurant in the West End, but all of their staff are out of work actors and actresses. And they basically work in the kitchens or, you know, do the jobs at Leon, but they have the opportunity to get up and sing.
While they work.
While they work. They are being paid to sing while they work. Basically, so they take it in turns and they seem to be having so much fun. They get up and they sing, like they belt out a tune, and then they get back to serving customers around the till.
I see like, so clearly why you love this and why this appeals to you.
There's just untold joy in it. Like, I honestly, I've been in there so many times, like sat there wide-eyed.
I've seen the selfies, man. I've seen the like gleeful, wide-eyed, wide-smiled Michael Chapman selfies with someone singing in the background.
It is utterly incredible.
So what do they sing? Like, what? I know it's like show tunes, but like what
mostly
kind of
show tunes. So they tend to be shows that have been on at the West End or are on at the West End. So there's been a variety of stuff. There was some Les Mis.
Seen Les Mis.
Neither have I.
Oh my God, maybe we should go.
Oh my God, it's opposite as well.
Yeah, it's literally opposite Singing Leon, which is on Shaftesbury Avenue. But Michael loves Singing Leon so much, and I just really feel like people need to be rewarded for their devotion to certain causes. So when he tweeted a picture from himself in Singing Leon, I retweeted it and tagged Leon and was like, is there some kind of sponsorship deal that you can give Michael Chapman? Because he is your biggest fan and most embodies the Singing Leon spirit. And I don't think you are quite at the sponsorship deal level yet, but you have got a free lunch.
No, I have got a free lunch. Thanks to you, Bethany.
Whatever, yes, thanks to me, but thanks to your enthusiasm.
Yeah. It was amazing, though, because they got in touch with me and they were like, we love your enthusiasm. And they gave me a voucher for, which would cover several meals at Leon.
Oh my God, that is just the best thing. I'm so happy for you.
And I was like, where best to spend this voucher than having lunch with Bethany?
The origin of the semi-sponsorship deal.
And one of her glamorous friends.
Jenny Tighe.
Who I'm very excited to meet.
I'm excited for you to meet her.
But yeah, I just like, and also like them celebrating the selfie, which I absolutely adore. I love a selfie. They are one of my favourite things.
It goes without saying. I also love a selfie.
Yeah.
I've taken one today, but the lighting wasn't great. And I'm wearing like bright matte orange eyeshadow. But because I have hooded eyes, you just can't see it. And you need to be in a really well-lit place to see the orange. So a day where I can't take a good selfie is really a bad day for me. And this is a bad selfie day.
I'm actually a fan of a bad selfie. I love a bad selfie.
But how do you... What is a bad selfie to you?
Well, like messy, like not really well thought together. Because I know some, like, if you're taking a selfie, everybody does it. You'll take like 20 yeah. million. And you'll pick the one that's most flattering. But sometimes I quite like the ones that aren't. I mean, I'm quite famed. I'm quite famed for doing a croissant selfie.
Yep.
So I will literally photograph myself while I'm shoving a croissant into my mouth.
And that's the joyful stuff, isn't it?
It's not very flattering, but like, it's my best content.
And so you've got the croissant selfie, and then Martin Finbaum is the ice cream selfie king. And you took an amazing picture of him with ice cream, didn't you?
He is the queen of babes.
He's really cute, and he has the best moustache.
Have you met him?
I have met him, and he has a beautiful moustache in person as well.
Yeah. So Martin was somebody that I met outside of Strangers Project, and he takes a selfie of himself with ice creams. That was his thing that he was doing. And I was like, let's do this, but in a studio.
Yeah, let's formalise the ice cream selfie.
And so we did a load of pictures together, and I fell in love with this radiant babe.
It's just that lust for life, man. It's that, like, happy to be here, wanting to have a good time, and letting that shine through all of the content that you produce.
Yeah. And I see him quite regularly now. Like, he's a really good friend of mine. So he's just come back from Japan, actually.
I've seen his Japan pics.
I know.
Love them. I'm so jealous of anyone that goes to Japan.
Finbar in a kimono.
Yeah, raunchy kimono content.
Raunchy kimono content.
Okay, so I'm going to finish this chat by asking you some formal questions.
Oh, okay.
One, if you were performing in Singing Leon, what song would you sing? What would be your show tune?
Queen of the Night from Bodyguard.
What? I mean, I respect it. I just was not... I don't even know what that is.
Well...
I haven't seen The Bodyguard.
So, I mean, it is in the Bodyguard musical, but it is essentially from the film and Whitney Houston.
So it's a Whitney Houston song.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I just absolutely adore the song.
Okay.
It encompasses everything I feel that I am.
Okay.
You should go home and listen to it.
Yeah, I will. What emoji best describes you?
The one that I use most often, and I think... I'd like to think it's me. It's the pink heart with the sparkles on it.
I love the pink sparkly heart.
It's my favourite emoji.
It just says so much.
If I could replace all of my emojis with just the pink sparkly heart, I'd be happy.
I went through a phase of using the pink heart wrapped in a ribbon, but it's just not the same.
No.
Which one Twitter user would you recommend that people listening to this follow?
Oh. I think everybody could do with a bit more of a broader perspective. So I'd recommend following, there's a performing arts non-binary person that I know called Travis. I will look up their Twitter account, but they do some really amazing performance work and poetry. And they themselves are absolutely sensational. So it's Travis, so TravisAlabanza.
I assumed you were talking about that person, but I didn't want to put words in your mouth, so I'm glad that you have clarified. So it's at, whole word?
Travis Alabanza.
Cool. What readily available brand and flavour of UK crisps would you buy if you went to the shop?
Well, see, it's a throw up between... Pickled onion Monster Munch and roast beef Monster Munch.
But not Flaming Heart?
I like Flaming Heart, but quite often they don't have them.
Okay,
so...
you're being realistic. This is very...
Yeah.
Yeah. You're accepting the world you really live in.
I think probably Pickly Onion. Because
Pickly Onion.
Pickly Onion. Because it gives you like... It gives you really bad breath, and sometimes I just really enjoy that.
You want to add a little bit of antisociality into your life.
Yeah.
Final question. Who would you like me to talk to?
I want you to talk to Dom.
Falcaro?
Yeah.
Oh my God, literally one of my oldest friends.
Yeah.
And I thought about that. He's on my list. I have a long list in my notebook and Dom is on it. So cool. Thank you for that.
Another radiant person and yeah.
And has an incredible voice.
Oh my God. Just everything is incredible, to be honest. The looks.
The voice. The chat.
The person.
Okay, cool. I definitely enjoy and accept that suggestion.
I thought you'd have him on your list anyway.
He's on my list. Michael Chapman, it has been a true joy. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to me.
I'm very excited. Thank you.
Would you like to give us your Twitter username and your website?
Oh, yeah. So I have to look it up because I'm terrible at remembering things like this. My website is www.mjchapman.co.uk, where you can see my dog section, which I feel is the most important thing in life. And my Twitter account is @MJC_photography. And you will see me there with my glamorous picture that was taken by my friend Chris. And I look nothing like that in real life.
You look quite a lot like it.
Oh, well, I think it's a really good picture of me.
Oh, I think you're a really good looking person.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.